every year around Christmas time. Jeremiah? Read Luke 2, 1 through 20.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Faith. We do what? We do a play, a Christmas play. That is correct. Yes, Gregory. Set up a Christmas tree. Yes, we do. Joshua. We do a Christmas chain, marking down the days to Christmas. Amen. Yes, Simone. Decorate the house, put on Christmas music. Amen. I like that. Yes, sir.
Advent calendars.
Advent calendars. Amen. Some folks do that. Yes, Joe. Is it JoJo or Joel? That's JoJo. I'm like Brother Perkins. Amen. Yes, sir. Hang up stockings.
Hey.
Amen. Yes, Mariah? Get in the Christmas spirit. Amen. Unless you're Scrooge, then you don't. Amen. Yes.
Wrap presents.
Amen. Amen. Yes. I know you. Sing Christmas carols every year? Oh, you read a Christmas carol. Amen. Amen. If you're like me, I get lazy and watch it on video. Amen.
Yeah.
Gregory's reading it right now, as a matter of fact. Anybody else something you do traditionally, Rose? Give, amen, bake cookies and give them out. Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, during this time of the year, there should be certain memories or traditions that we have or that are consistent and Christ-like to honor our Savior during this time. It only comes once a year. And you want to make it as memorable as you can. You don't want it to be just another holiday that comes and goes, because this is a significant birth. Now, this is the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so you want to try to make this time as memorable as you can, not just for yourself, but for your children. I can go back to some great, great Christmases that we had, you know, albeit it snowed where we were at. Amen. Where's Brother Fred at? Snow where Brother Fred's at. Who came from a cold climate? Nobody? Amen. Passed away. It snowed in North Carolina? Really? I didn't know it snowed in North Carolina. Amen. Sir, you're from? Oh, you're not from Missouri. Canada. Definitely snowed in Canada. Amen. Who else from a cold climate? Amen. Brother, where you from? Ohio. So, yeah, we know about snow. Amen. Elijah? Washington? Yeah, these places, it snows. Amen. I'm from Illinois. It snowed, and it snowed with the best of them. Amen. And so every year, we had a white Christmas. And so I remember snowball fights and going outside and coming back in soaked and drenched and cold and all those things. And all this around Christmas time. I mean, we'd go out and have our snowball fight and come back in, eat, and go back out and snowball fight some more. Amen. And, it was one of those things. And so we are creatures of habit. And creatures of tradition. So we tend to do certain things the same all the time. For instance, some of us sleep on a certain side of the bed all the time. How many of y'all like that? If you don't sleep on your side of the bed, you're uncomfortable. Amen. I can sleep all over the bed and I have no problems. Amen. It doesn't bother me a bit. Some people go home a certain way. How many of y'all go home a certain way all the time? So if somebody wanted to kidnap you, they can know where to get you at. Amen. All right. How many of y'all wake up at a certain time all the time? Amen. I'm not going to wake up until I have to. Amen. How many of y'all eat certain things only? Joshua, raise your hand. Amen. Joshua eats sweets. Amen. Some folks, we're creatures of habit. And once we find something that we like, we stick with that. Christmas time should be the same thing. We should find some Christmas traditions that are Christ honoring that we can do and then stick with those. And just for a few moments, I want you to use your imaginations for a moment. Imagine how Christmas was celebrated years ago. Of course, we know that Mary and Joseph didn't have a Christmas tree. We know they didn't lay presents under their tree. We know they didn't decorate. When they had the birth of Christ, it was in the manger. Who worked on the farm before? Brother, y'all go out and decorate the barn where the pigs and the cows were at? No, you wouldn't go out there. Amen. Nobody's going to go out to a stable environment and decorate and put lights, although they didn't have electricity back then anyway. But you're not going to decorate the stables. And so we know that Mary and Joseph, they didn't have what we have today by way of decorations. They didn't have a tree. They didn't have the lights. They didn't have all those things that we have, the tinsel, the garland. They may have had some snow. We don't know. But we do know this. They had Jesus. They had Jesus. We know that. Amen. And so they had the greatest gift that there ever was. And so we praise God. But use your memory just for or your imagination for a moment and think about how they may have celebrated years ago when they've got the message of Christ. You think of the shepherds here. Maybe the same time every year, possibly they journeyed back to the place where they met the angels. Maybe they went to that same pasture that the angels came. You ever done that? You know, you went back to where you found some money thinking you're going to find some more money there. Amen. I've done that before. I found money last time. Maybe some money there this time. Amen. And you never know. You might and you might not. But perhaps the shepherds went back every year to the same spot to see and talk about the significance of what they had witnessed the years prior to that. And we don't know. The Bible does not say. We're just imagining here. But maybe they traveled back to the manger area, retracing their steps. Maybe they went from the field to the manger that was there every year. Maybe they went into the town where they told the people. And nonetheless, they must have recounted this encounter somehow. And they must have encountered it regularly because if something special happened to you, wouldn't you recount it and say it over and over again? Yes, you would. Yes, you would. You know, how many of y'all hear me talk about when I got saved? You know why? It's special to me. And I'll tell you over and over and over again. Amen. It's special. And I believe the shepherds had some way of memorializing this time every year. Now, what they did, we don't know. Mary and Joseph possibly every year at the time of Christ's birth. Maybe they too went back to the manger scene. Maybe they went to the area where Mary was approached by the angel. Maybe they went the whole route and said, okay, let's start off where you got the announcement. And then when you went down here was Elizabeth and then you came back and maybe they went the whole gambit. We don't really know, but we know they must have done something to keep that memory alive. Why? It really happened to them. And it was special to them. And when special things happen, we memorialize those special things. What about the wise men? Possibly they would get together and talk about, oh, wicked Herod, and how Herod tried to trick them. And the Holy Spirit had to warn them and said, you need to go another way. And maybe perhaps the gifts that they laid at Jesus' feet, and perhaps they talked about the sparkle that Jesus had in his eye. And perhaps they talked about when they laid the gifts down there at Jesus' feet, what happened. And by the way, the wise men did not come to the manger. Okay? They came to the house, the Bible says. Y'all say, well, why you got them there? Because it was a complete set. Amen? But the Bible says they came into the house, so they didn't come to the manger scene. The shepherds came to the manger scene. But the wise men came into the house and laid their gifts down at Jesus' feet. And maybe they talked about the gleam in Jesus' eye. Maybe they said, man, Jesus, he looked like he winked at me. Maybe they say, you know, he's going to be king of kings one day. We don't know what they said, but can you imagine the memory that they would have year after year about that time? And so we can go down here and see some of the events that happened here and kind of reminisce as to what they may have thought about and what they may have done. But you and I both have fond memories of our birthdays and special days of those that we love. And we celebrate those days every year. And we would never dream about making someone else more important on our special day. Think about on our birthday, making someone else more important. That's unthinkable. We want the gifts, don't we? We want the praise, don't we? We want to be remembered. Don't you think Jesus wants to be remembered as well on his special day? I think so as well. And so as we approach this time, there should be some things that we do yearly at this season to recall Christ's birth for our sake and for our children's sake. And they should be able to have some Christ-centered memories or traditions. And I like what I heard about reading the Bible and decorating and things like that. And we do a lot of those things in our house as well. This time of the year, the hype for Santa Claus is very high. This time of the year, the hype for Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer is high. And all the other characters that go along with Christmas. And now, if it wasn't bad enough, now you got to make room for, what's that guy's name with the carrot nose? Not Frosty. Frozen. What's that? Olaf. Roloff? Olaf. Now you got to make room for Olaf now. Now he's in the picture. I saw some decoration with Olaf. And so everybody's getting a piece of Christmas, and Christ seems to be getting less and less. Olaf's got a piece. Frosty's got a piece. Rudolph's got a piece. Santa's got a piece. Frosty, what's that guy's name? The Ice Man, what's his name? Jack Frost has got a piece. Amen. So everybody seems to have a piece of Christmas, and Jesus' piece seems to get smaller and smaller and smaller. Who's the big one out this year for Christmas? That's going to be. No, there's a movie out right now about Christmas. What's that movie? Olaf was last year, so it's good. I can't think. I saw the character, but I know it's coming out around Christmas time. And lo and behold, next year they'll probably have a puff up of him next year too. And so Jesus is getting less and less. And so from Christians, we've got to make sure he gets more and more. Amen. You know, if our children are going to grow up remembering the Christ of Christmas and not Santa of Christmas, it's our job to make sure that some traditions are in place for our children. Yes, we have the Bible, and praise God that we can read the Bible. But there's got to be some other things that we can do to further pad the memory of Christ that can be memorized every year and memorialized. Here's some things that we try to do at our home to keep Christ at the center. And by the way, my wife and I realized early on that it was hard to keep Christ in the focus with all the commercialism and hype even before we had children. And we didn't even have children. And it was hard then with the hype and with the ministry busyness and not to mention good things that we have and want to do. So my wife and I started doing some things on purpose at Christmas time to help keep our focus and try to minimize the Christmas rush of things and keep Christ-centered Christmases. Number one, we had some preparation traditions. We wanted to prepare for Christmas. And so there's some traditional things that we do to prepare to make life easier for us. Say, preacher, what are some of those things? We begin decorating early after Thanksgiving. How many do that? Early after Thanskgiving. Now, I thought we were fast. A couple of days before Thanksgiving, my neighbor across the street was Thanksgiving decorating already. I said, hey, what are you guys doing? She said, I'm decorating already. I said, it ain't even Thanksgiving yet. She said, I know. She said, I want to leave them up for a long time. Amen. So she started before Thanksgiving. We start right after Thanksgiving. We start putting the decorations up, and it takes us a day or two to get those up. And so that's a preparation tradition. Why? We don't want to wait until the last minute. We want to make sure that we can understand the feeling of Christmas, that it's there. And so we start doing that early. We do this as well. We do reindeer ornaments. I mentioned that last year, and I actually bought a couple of these. And you say, what's the reindeer ornament? It is when you draw a picture of your child's foot, and then you draw a picture of their hand, and then you make the hand the reindeer. That's Gregory. That was last year. It's a picture of him. That's how big his hand was last year. And that's how big his foot was. Big foot. Amen. There's Joshua. That's his reindeer ornament. That's his hand. And that's his foot. Big foot as well. And this is Faithy Pooh. That's her tiny foot there in her hand. And what we do is we hang these up on the tree. And there's a picture of them. They're smiley faces. Amen. And we try to do this every year. And so down in the bottom here are the first ones that we did. Now, this is Gregory's first one. Wow. This is December 16th, 2004. Wow. This is the first year. My, how big the foot has grown. This is Joshua's first year. This is Joshua's last year. Show you how big his foot has grown. I mean, that's pretty big. And we even have Faithy Poos. This is Faithy Poos, December 20, 2010. That's her first one. There's now. And so what we do is we keep these every year. We put these on the tree. And we've got a bunch of these, and we can kind of measure them to see which ones are there. Now, the only part that they don't like about this is when mom has to trace their feet. And they get the tickle ickles in them. Amen. And they laugh and they giggle and all those other good things. But this is just a good tradition that we have done in our house that really helps us to keep that time special. Plus, we get to measure how big our children's feet are. Amen. And what a blessing it is to see how they've grown over the years. And then we hang those up on the tree and they get a good kick out of seeing themselves as well. Another thing we try to do is plan our Christmas menu very early and shop early as possible to prevent the Christmas rush. Amen. My wife normally asks me early on, what do I want? And normally I only have one request, meat. I don't care what kind it is, but as long as it's meat, ham, roast beef, turkey, amen, chicken, as long as there's some meat. She said, don't you want something else? No, I don't want anything else. Just give me some meat. Amen. Whatever else you want, then that's fine. Amen. We try to do this as well. We try to prepare our Christmas cards no later than the first week of December. And that's something that we've tried to do just for reasons of not having to wait until the last minute, because then the postman will normally get hung up somewhere along the line, and then your Christmas cards won't get to your destination that you desire. And so we try to make sure that we do that the first week of Christmas. Now, we're not always perfect at these things, but we definitely try to do that. Number five, our preparation traditions. We normally put in Christ-centered Christmas music. Somebody said that as well. Who said that?
Amen.
We put in Christ-centered music. I take out all the CDs and I put in all Christmas music and I have it playing continuously on repeat. So, preacher, what does that do? Number one, it helps me to sing the songs of the Christmas spirit. And you start singing Joy to the World and God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen and things like that. And it just does something to your soul. Amen. And so we sing those songs. We put that in there and that plays repeatedly. And we try to make sure that's on repeat play and we don't have the TV on.
Amen.
There's too many commercials on anyway. Your kid's going to try to buy up all the stuff. Amen. So you don't want that commercials on. Amen. Then you will be broke. And so we put the Christ-centered music in that. We repeat, put it on repeat play. And then every day that you keep before your children that Jesus is the reason for the season is good. And we try to do this by having a manger scene out front. And we also have a small manger scene on the inside. And so it's always good to have the manger scene there, because now you get a chance to recognize this is Jesus's time. Jesus is the reason for the season. My faithy poo, she's normally in charge of the manger scene, the miniature manger scene there, and she gets kind of upset because the boys go in and they do all sorts of things that they ought not do with the thing with thinking it's Legos and things like that, and they have fights with the manger scene people, which is never a good thing, and Faith gets upset with them because now they're rearranging combat mode, and she didn't have them in combat mode. She had them in worship mode, and Gregory and G2 go in there on purpose, I think, to make her upset. They will change up and put things in the way they ought not be. Typical boys, amen. And so giving her grief. But we have the manger scene there to remind ourselves of whose time it is. And by the way, your outdoor manger scene can be a witness to your friends and your neighbors as to where you stand. It's not always the case, but it can do that. Something else you can do as well, if you're a computer person, you can put a manger scene on your computer saver, your screensaver. Put a manger scene out there. And that way you can have that playing on your computer and rotating back and forth, amen, with some scenes on your computer. Those are preparation traditions, things that we try to do in preparation for the day. Then there's some anticipation traditions that we try to do, and these are done normally about a week before Christmas. And we try to let our kids open up some of their gifts before Christmas time. And you say, preacher, why do you do that? If Christmas falls on a Sunday, where should we be? Church, if the children are trying to open up their gifts, where are they not going to want to be? But if they don't have any gifts to open, where would they not mind being? If the suspense is there and there's a gift under the tree and I got to go to church, I'm at church, but I'm really at home thinking about what's under that tree. I'm really thinking about that gift. Let them open them up before Christmas. Amen. Now, that's something that we do. You don't have to do that. Amen. We try to make sure that whatever it is, they've opened it up all the way, because we want Christ to have first billing on Christmas. Why? It's his birthday. It's his birthday. And so we try to get all that out of the way before Christmas comes. They may have one or two gifts left that they already know what it is, amen, that they open up on Christmas. But that's something that we try to do, and we try to videotape the gifts and so that they know who they came from. Oftentimes, my sisters will send them gifts, and so we want them to know this came from Auntie Tanya, this came from Auntie Fee, this came from Grandma, this came from Granddad, so they can do thank you cards. Yeah, amen. Which they don't like. They like getting the gifts, but they don't like getting the thank you cards. Amen. So we let them do that. And we let them know who bought the gifts. And we make sure that they understand that anything that they get is not from Santa Claus. Amen. And then we let them know why they have received gifts at Christmas time. We explain how the wise men gave Jesus gifts at Christmas time. We explain to them how God gave us the greatest gift, Jesus Christ, to be our Lord and our Savior. And we let them know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And he did that at that time. And so we let them know that that is the reason why. And go in your Bibles, and I want to show you something here. Romans chapter number 5. In Romans chapter number 5, verses 15, 16, 17, and 18, you're going to find a word that appears several times. Romans chapter number 5. In Romans chapter number 5, notice verse number 15. You're going to find the word gift or free gift in these three verses. Notice verse 15 of chapter 5. But not as the offense, so also is the what? Free gift. For if through the offense of one, and that's Adam, many be dead, much more the grace of God and the, what's that word? Gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, have abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the what? Gift. For the judgment was by one, of course, that's Adam, to condemnation. But the what? Free gift is of many offenses and justification. For if by one man's offense, that's Adam, death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the what? Gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, that means all of us are sinners, even so the righteousness of one, the what? Free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Now, be careful, because there are some men that will teach this principle. Notice how it says there in that verse toward the end, the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men under justification of life. They will say, well, then that means all men are saved. No, you must be born again. The Bible says, with the mouth man with the mouth confesses man in salvation, with the heart man believing unto righteousness. So I've got to actually ask to be saved. Just because it says that doesn't mean I'm automatically saved. And people say, well, see, it says it came upon all men. No, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so several times down through here, you see free gift and gift and free gift. And so we want our children to know, and you should want your children to know, why gifts are given. Because God gave us the greatest gift, Jesus Christ. Amen. Notice verse 20, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. So no matter how big your sin is, God's grace is bigger. Amen. That's good. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Praise God and hallelujah. God is good. And so we understand that in this scripture reference, the free gift is talked about even over in Romans 6 and verse 23. Notice how it continues in verse number 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the what? Gift of God is what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. How do you receive a gift? Just like this. Somebody has a gift and they give it to you. And you receive it. At Christmas time, that's what we do. We buy gifts for people and we give it to them. Jesus Christ was born on Christmas Day. God gave him to us. But guess what? We had to receive that gift. Amen. And I'm so glad that many have done it already. Another thing that would be pertinent for your children is explaining the difference between Santa and Saint Nicholas. If you tell your children that Saint Nicholas does not exist, you have just lied to your children. Because he is a man, and he was born, I believe it was in Turkey, and if you Google Saint Nicholas, you'll find he was a real man that lived, that did charitable acts. Now, Santa is a fictitious person. He is made up, and he is an offshoot of Saint Nicholas who did good, made up by American folk, amen? And if you go to Europe, you'll see Saint Nicholas, and he actually looks kind of scary. Brother, did y'all have them over in Italy where you were at? With the long white beard? He looked kind of scary. Had that long, oh man, he looked scary to me. I thought, if I was a kid, I wouldn't even go close to him. Y'all had him in England? Germany? Did he look scary? Oh man, he didn't look jolly at all. Didn't look jolly, didn't have rosy cheeks, didn't have a big belly. He looked menacing and mean and scary. And I thought, whoa, man, Americans sure painted that picture up, amen. And so St. Nicholas is different from Santa Claus. And so make sure that you explain that St. Nicholas was a real person. He really did exist historically, did great things. You say, was he a Christian? No, I don't believe he was a Christian. But he did great things. And so make sure you explain that difference. And so when it comes down to the day, what do we do on Christmas Day? Here's our celebration traditions. These are things that we do, again, to make our Christmas memorable to us. Celebration traditions. We read the Christmas story from Matthew or Luke. The number two, we try to act out the Christmas story, Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. When my wife and I first started out, it was just two of us. So we played Mary, Joseph, wise men. We played everybody. Then G2 came along. Then at least we had a wise man. Then Joshua came along. Then at least we had some shepherds. Then Faith came along. Then we had a Mary.
Amen.
Yeah, Faith's like, no. And I don't know what it is, but everybody in our family likes to be the wise men. They like to be the wise men or the scribes or the Pharisees. Well, they like to be one of those guys. Amen. I don't know what it is, but probably because in our house, when we do act out the Christmas story, we go all out. We dress up. We put on wigs.
That's good.
Okay, not wigs, but we do ourselves up. We put on hats. We put on scarves. We get our little canes and sticks out. We put on robes. We put on royalty. I mean, we go all out. And we videotape ourselves on top of that. And I've got three of the biggest hams that ever lived.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got three ham chops. I mean, they are just hammy, hammy, hammy. And so we will act out the Christmas story, and we do that in a variety of different ways. We had the privilege last year of having my parents with us, and so they got to act it out with us. And what a blessing that was to have my parents join in. And I think my mom played Mary. They didn't join in with us last year? I thought they.
We tried to get them.
You can't tell me if my mom didn't get in this. My mom is the biggest ham.
Oh,
G2 wore a wig. Amen. So I thought, well, they were there to witness it. Amen. G2 wore my mom's wig. Amen. So it was an interesting time, to say the least, last year with my parents being there with us. Amen. So they got a chance to see firsthand hammies. Amen. Another thing that we try to do is we tell the kids to have fun with a Christmas story as well, to kind of ad lib and add some excitement, some possibilities to it, and do some things that maybe were done that weren't written down in Scripture. And so we do that as well. One of the things that we do as well, if we have read the Bible, we like to place the Bible under the tree as a gift to the Lord Jesus Christ, saying, I've read your word all year long, and that's something that you can do. One of the most precious things that we try to do is ask our children, what are you going to give for Jesus on Christmas? We try to ask our children, what are you going to give for Jesus? And normally we'll try to keep a biblical principle. Maybe it's obedience. Maybe it's to be kind one to another. Maybe it's first time obedience. Or maybe it's to respect authority. And we will say, what are you going to do? And then we'll try to get that and try to laminate that and try to put it on the refrigerator and have that up there for several months so they can see what their commitment was to Christ, what their gift was to him on his special day. And so that's something that we try to help them out with. And we'll normally try to work with them to see what it is that they struggle with or something that they need to work on. And just to keep that before them, because it's Jesus's birthday and you want to give him something. Amen. By the way, one thing that you and I can give him is a completed red Bible. By the way, you never get too old to read the Bible through its entirety. You never get too old for that. You say, well, preacher, I read it once. Well, let it read you twice, and you have a whole different look on the thing. Amen. You can read it, but let it read you. Amen. And you'll find a difference. And so one thing you can do is take that Bible after you read it, put it under the tree and say, Lord, I've read your word faithfully every day. And you put it under the tree. Or you may be able to say, Lord, I read it through in its entirety this year, and so I want to try and do it again. Lord, I picked your word up every single day, and I've read something out of it every day. And you put it under the tree. Lord, I've read a proverb every day, and you put it under the tree. Lord, I've read a psalm every day, and you put it under the tree. Lord, I've read all of 1 John, put it under the tree. Lord, I've read all of 2 John or whatever. Lord, I've read all of this or all of this, and Lord, this is my gift to you, and I hope to give you more next year. But there's so many things that you can give our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But like the little drummer boy said, the best thing you can give is you. If God has you, he has everything. And he wants your heart. Go back with me to Luke chapter number 2. Luke chapter number 2. And these are just some things that we try to do in our home to try to make Christmas special in our own lives and in our own family. To make sure that Christmas becomes a special spot in our lives. Notice in chapter number 2 and verse number 10, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which should be to all people. One of the things we want to make sure that we keep before us with all of our preparations, with all of our anticipations, with all our celebrations, is that Jesus is still for all people. Say, preacher, all people don't want him. Matters not what they want. He's still for them. He's still for them. By the way, Donald Trump said, I'm going to be a president for all the people. Some folks say, well, I don't want you as my president. Guess what? He's still their president, whether they like him or not. Jesus is just millions of times better because he is the Savior of the world, and he's still to all people. And we've got to keep as much Christmas spirit as we can by the preparations and the traditions and the anticipations that we keep to let people know that he still saves. He's still able. Notice what it says in verse 11. For unto you is born at this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. We've got to let people know that there's a Savior that is being born, that has been born, that has already lived, that has already died, that has already risen, and that is coming back again. As this time of the year comes around, this is a precious time. And there's some things that you and I can do to make it a little less stressful by making preparations for it, getting some anticipations for it, and then celebrating in a way that would glorify God as the day approaches. Now, this year we'll be in church on that day, December 25th. I'm looking forward to it. By God's grace, we're going to be here from 11 to 12, 1 hour. And I do trust that you will make plans to be here as well. And don't let the rush of Christmas get you into being a Scrooge. Amen. Nobody wants to be a Scrooge. Amen. I think we all want to be joyful and happy. And the way we can do that is by having some planned preparation so that this time doesn't become too stressful. By the way, don't try to do too much. Oftentimes we try to do too much, we try to cook too much, we want to clean too much, we want to have too many people over, we want to do this, we want to do this. Settle down a little bit. Relax a little bit. Reminisce on how good God is and how Christ came into the world. Mary and Joseph had a very simplistic first Christmas. Wasn't a whole lot. They didn't have a whole lot. Seems like the more we have, the busier we get. Simplify your Christmas this year, but make sure Jesus is still the reason for the season. And make sure he's still the center of what you do and why you do it and how you do it. Amen? Anybody else got a Christmas tradition that you want to share with us, something that you do every year? And before we close, yes, sir. You get to watch Christmas movies. Amen. That is a great highlight. Amen. Yeah, Jeremiah? Make Jesus a birthday cake. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Faith? Amen. Our children get to stay up late. They get delirious because they get some soda. Yes, yeah. G2? They watch a Christmas. They're finally not scared of the ghost anymore. Amen. Yes, Simone? Cinnamon popcorn. Praise God. Amen. Never heard of that one, but that sounds good. Amen. Julianne? Oh, that's Mrs. Dawson's movie there, A Wonderful Life. She loves watching that one. Amen. All right. Yes, Joshua? We do what? And stay up on Christmas Eve. We try to watch the Charlie Brown Christmas, too. That's still funny. Amen. Yes. Simone, did we get your faith? Simone? Amen. Amen. Faithy Pooh. Out of the big coloring book. That's right. We've done a myriad of those. Amen. Different ways. Amen. Yes, Mariah? Go to grandma and grandpa's house playing in the snow. Amen. Anybody go up to the mountain and get the snow from up there? Nobody brave enough? Yeah, Tasha? Well, get with Serge. Serge loves going up to the mountain to get snow. Amen. Serge is our mountain snowman. Amen. He go up there and get that snow. Yes, Jeremiah? Christmas what? Crafts? Amen. Christmas crafts. Praise God. Yes, Julian? Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes, Joshua?
We do a gingerbread house every day.
A gingerbread. Do we get one this year?
Yeah.